This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of star and sign, lead us in this new year along the paths of peace. Guide us in the way of truth. Place in us the words of kindness. Kindle in us an ever-flowing joy. God of the journey and God of home, walk with us in times of trouble and dwell with us in the stillness of each night. May your love surround our resting and our hurrying, our laughing and our worrying. God of star and sign, place your light on our path. Amen. Happy 11th day of Christmas. We celebrate in anticipation the feast of the Epiphany that actually is not scheduled liturgically for a couple of days. But I think it's an important one, especially as we have this first Sunday of the new year and sort of acknowledge that we got through Christmas one more time. For some of us, this was an incredible time of reunion with family and friends. And we wish it could have lasted longer. For others of us, it has been a very painful time that has become nothing but a reminder of those who were no longer with us. But regardless of which of those two scenarios perhaps you had, or a combination of both, it's important that we acknowledge that there has been something that has happened. There has been some manifestation, there has been some realization, or the same word, epiphany, that has taken place for us. And it now becomes for us the opportunity and the challenge to take that epiphany and that revelation and to put it into practice. The Feast of the Epiphany, the wise men. We could put up the first slide. You will see a mosaic from a church in Ravenna, Italy, that goes back to the 6th century. That is the earliest known depiction of the Magi. And you see, if you look closely at the top, they actually have given them names. And as someone waggishly tried to say, it is not Mo, Larry, and Curly. It is Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, the names that are traditionally given to them. But notice that even in Matthew's gospel, they are not referred to as kings. We sing the song, We Three Kings. Perhaps it came from depictions like this and the Old Testament prophecies. But even Matthew tells us that they were three wise men, magi. Now, to understand for me what this really means, I go to where I am in the middle of the night when I can't sleep, and I use my favorite sleeping pill, which is called television. And in the middle of the night, and I click that clicker, and it comes on, and a lot of times there will be a commercial on, and it will be someone dressed in old clothes with a funny hat on their head. And they say that if I call this 1-800 number and pay $1.99 a minute, they can tell me what I should do. They will give me advice because they are seers, they are fortune tellers. And for me, it's nothing but a hoax. Well, it would not have been uncommon for these three wise men to be viewed in the same way. They are called magi. Same root word as we have for magic or magician. Tricksters, huh? But they were astrologers. They were people who watched the stars. But even in the Old Testament and in the New Testament scriptures, such practices are certainly not recommended. They are put down. So there's a point here that is being made by the very men, these magi, who choose to follow the star. And that is that all people are open in God's eyes to respond to the gift of Christmas. Now that we have concluded this Christmas season in this next day, as I usually do, I like to sort of put it into perspective for us as to what we can learn from this story. So there are some points that we can take away from it. If we go with a double click to the next slide. One more click. There we go. Welcome even those who we would prefer not to love. As I said, the Magi would not have been people who would have been welcomed by the existing church folks. The important thing for us becomes to an understanding that all are worthy of the message of God. The misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the unbelievers, the doubters, the people who just don't seem to fit into the holes we would like to place them, the ones who see things differently. This becomes for us a challenge. But perhaps as we take the Christmas manifestation that we have had into realization in our lives, maybe God is calling us out to welcome those we would prefer not to love. Look at the gospel. Look at the epistle that we heard from Paul. Paul, who was the greatest killer of Christians in recorded history. And yet, look what God did to him and through him. Perhaps there are Sauls in our own life that God would like to become Pauls, and it is our witness that will enable that to happen. Another point. Secondly, next slide, double click. Set your goals high. Consider yourself as a king as well. Certainly it's good that we have remembered these men as kings because they acknowledge that someone else was a more powerful one than them. Certainly they were wise men to do that. But perhaps when we consider this particular story, we need to consider ourselves as worthy as well. Consider yourself as a king. So set your goals high. I love the story of an African-American pastor who was in this small town and was doing all sorts of wonderful things in the community, and they couldn't understand how he was getting his people to do so much with so few. And so they interviewed him and asked him, what was his secret? His response, I hold a crown above the head of every one of my people, and I allow them to grow into it. God has placed a crown above each one of our heads. As we begin this new year, perhaps God is calling you to set your goals higher. Here at this loving faith community, in your families, in your lives, in your community, set your goals high. It also becomes a reminder to us that every single person has that crown above their own heads. Remember C.S. Lewis's quote in The Weight of Glory, that it is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, and to remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you talk to may one day be a creature with, if you saw them now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or a horror and a corruption such as you now see. All day long, in some degree, helping each other to one or another of these destinations is what we do. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal next to the Blessed Sacrament itself. Your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. Consider your own crown and that of others. Next slide. Leave excess baggage behind. Besides, now they charge you for it, huh? Leave behind that which is bulky, that which will not help you on the journey. You know, we look at these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and we sing about the symbolic meaning in Jesus' life. But one of the important points that scholars point out for us is the fact that not only were they valuable, but they were very easy to carry. They were portable. that becomes important for us on our journey. What is it that God is calling us to rid ourselves of so that we can move forward on our own spiritual journey this year? Next, be willing to take action. You know, it was one thing for those wise men to look up at that star and admire it, but it was totally another thing to decide with that realization, when they knew that God was calling them to do something, to leave everything behind and go ahead and follow the star. How often in our own lives are we given that realization, that manifestation, that epiphany, and yet we just want to choose to sit there and look at it? Where are the stars in our life that God might be calling us this year to follow? Next slide. Offer your best to God. And it's an appropriate photo that I chose for this one this year. Wise men offer their best to God. To give the best of ourselves at all times and in all places. These wise men brought valuable gifts. And these were valuable gifts to Mary and Joseph because they were such that they could be traded, they could be sold, they could be bartered for things that they would need for their family. How is God calling you to give more of your best back to Him? Next slide. Get to work and you'll find God there. You know, these magi were just out doing their job. They were astrologers, so they look at the stars and they read the stars. And it was in the midst of doing their job that the revelation of the star was given to them. And so it becomes the same for us. To start looking for God in our daily lives and expecting to find God there. Because that's where God will be. In our workplace, in our homes, in our schools, and in our families. God can and does speak to us anywhere and at any time. We just need to be alert. Next slide. Give what you are seeking. This is an important message for us, especially those of us who found this a difficult holiday season. I find in my own life when I am feeling without hope, when I am feeling without joy, when I am feeling without peace, the best way of having that return to my inner being is to go beyond myself and to try to give it to others. It is an amazing thing that when we reach out beyond ourselves, we will find people who are more hopeless than we are at the time. And by trying to give that person hope, we end up finding that hope is returned to us. There are so many opportunities, not only in this church, but in our community, that we can reach out to one another. Give what you are seeking, and the gift will come back to us. Next slide. Look for God in the stables of life. Could you imagine these wise men traveling all this way because they are seeking a king, and they arrive at this humble carpenter's abode with a little rugrat Jesus running around, and Joseph out doing his carpentry work, and Mary probably cooking something for lunch? It is in the ordinary and perhaps even the difficult things in the stables where God will be. It reemphasizes a previous point that we need to look to find God at all times. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, put it well this way. He said, "Remember that Jesus even stopped his own dying on the cross long enough to answer the prayer of a thief. He stopped in a big crowd one day because someone just touched the hem of his garment. He will stop to touch your life too and change you. So look for him in the stables of your life." Next slide. What happens in the stable marks a new direction for your life. And if you will switch to the next slide as well, I'd like to consider these together. Experience Christ and go home by another way. These two, when taken together, are important. A new direction and going home by another way. I don't think we end this Christmas season by chance with the words that those wise men returned by another road, because they were changed. And the Christmas story is meant to change us as well. This story is a paradigm for the whole journey of pilgrimage. And as you see, our own young people who come back from pilgrimage, and we will be celebrating them at the next service today, we come back changed. And the whole idea of pilgrimage, whether it is a physical pilgrimage or the pilgrimage of our Christian journey, there are three phases that we look at. That there is a separation that has to take place, first of all. When we go on pilgrimage, we go far away. And there is the stage of liminality, of sort of being in between, as we use at our quiet day, the image of a trapeze that we've let go of one rung, and we're sure hoping there's another rung that we're going to be able to latch on to, but we're in the middle. And there is that liminality and that uncertainty. But out of that experience, we come back. And we come back to our hometown, but like the wise men, we take a different route. We reappropriate ourselves into our communities, changed and transformed. And that is what is meant to happen for us with this story. Whether this has been the best Christmas season ever for you, or the worst, or anything in between, something has happened. Christ in some way has been present. It becomes incumbent upon us now to reappropriate that we all might go home by a different way and be changed. Amen.